All right, degenerates, we are here once again with your weekly recap, and we are once again commissionerless because he fucking sucks. He knows you guys don't give a fuck if he's here or not. Useless. Fucking sucks. So, I am joined solo by your co-host, Mr. Steven Sampson. How you doing tonight, Steve?
Good, Brian. What's up, degenerates? And fuck that tool bag, Eric. We can two-man this bitch, and you'll get much more quality. Our projections will always improve. Anytime Eric's not here dragging us down like the fucking anchor that he is. Suck a bag of dicks, Eric.
Every boat needs an anchor. Eric's ours. So,
side note, totally unrelated, but we may or may not be currently interviewing for a third position on the podcast. Must be able to show up on time.
I thought Shane did an excellent job. I'm just throwing that out there.
I did too, but I've been asking for his resume a little bit on the side, but he's too busy with kickers.
Yeah, no, if we let him on the show, we'd have to talk about kickers, and I'm not doing that. So some sacrifices just can't be made.
Right.
So, you know, why don't we do it? Why don't we jump right into our boom bust recap?
The boom bust recap.
So, I mean, I don't know what everybody else out there, but I did okay. I mean, I went 2-2 on the booms. I picked Andy Dalton as my boom quarterback. Terrible. Completely irrelevant. Even though he got hurt, I'm taking the L because he looked like fucking garbage. His score could have only gone down if he kept playing. I mean, he's completely irrelevant. I didn't even tally up where he finished on the week. He had like 3.5 fantasy points. It was bad. It was so bad.
Yeah, the only time he didn't suck in that game, Brian, is when he blew.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. My running back was Devin Singletary, who was ranked the number 21 running back on the week and finished the number 36 running back on the week. So barely good enough to be a starter on the worst team in the league in a two flex system. He finished with 6.7 fantasy points. He was terrible. Actually finished below Zach Moss. Just another terrible day. Bad. However, my boom wide receiver was DJ Moore, who was ranked the number 22 wide receiver on the week. Finished number 7 with 26.3 fantasy points. Nailed it. Killed it. Awesome. And my tight end was Logan Thomas against Dallas, who was ranked the number 17 tight end on the week. Finished number 5 with 16 fantasy points. The bus, I did a little better. I went 3-1. And I picked Matt Ryan to bust against Detroit. He was the number 7 quarterback on the week. Ended up finishing number 15 with 23.9 fantasy points. My running back for the week, brutal. Clyde Edwards-Helaire against Denver. He was ranked number 9. Finished number 19. Okay. Right on the line of busting. 13.3 fantasy points. I'm taking the L. Got to. Oh, I went 2-2. Fuck me. That sucks. All right. So,
AJ. I'm glad that we can do math.
Yeah. That's live math right there. if you guys could see this, you'd see it's all fucked. It's just orange and green. I don't know. AJ Brown against Pittsburgh. I thought for sure that Pittsburgh defense would keep him in check. Not the case. He had a 75-yard touchdown, which accounted for about half of his fantasy points. And he ended up number 3 wide receiver on the week. I mean, that's who A.J. Brown is. He's a home run hitter. And you can't call it a fluke when a home run hitter hits a home run, right? He went out there and he did his thing. So he finished number 3 on the week, 27.3 fantasy points. Pretty fucking far from busting. Did an awesome job. However, do you recall who my bust tight end was, Steven?
Good old friend of the show, Mr. Robert Tonyan.
And I believe I was told that I would be the only bum at the end of the week that Robert Tonyan would prove me wrong.
And that is correct.
I believe the direct quote from Eric was, "There's no fucking way he busts." Yep. Finished tight end 29 on the week, 5.2 fantasy points.
That's right.
That's Brian's beer.
That is Brian. That's two beers for Brian. And don't worry, I will drink them both. Cosby's deep sleeper, I had Marvin Jones, who ended up at $4,400 for the week, despite when we recorded he was $45. I played him. I won money. 13 fantasy points from one of the cheapest wide receivers you can get. Loving it. Dub. And my Samson's deep flex play was Christian Kirk, who finished the week with 2 touchdowns, 20.7 fantasy points against that soft-ass Seattle defense. Some things never change, man. Just got to play the matchups. Those fringy number twos will always come through for you in those soft matchups. And Christian Kirk did not let me down. 2 weeks in a row I picked him, and 2 weeks in a row he boomed. He ended up the number 14 wide receiver on the week, actually. So that's how I did. I'm pretty happy with that performance. You know, 2-2, 1-1, I'm happy. Steve, how'd you make out?
I'd rather not talk about it in public. But unfortunately, you got to take the bad weeks with the good weeks. So I went 0-4 in my booms. I was close on one, but still outside of the top 15. So my boom quarterback was Gardner Minshew with a respectable 22.75 fantasy points in our system. Finished as the number 16 quarterback. Not a boom. My boom running back, which should have been a great matchup, was Justin Jackson. Finished with 10.5 points. Number 25 running back on the week. Also, not a boom. my wide receiver, which was the closest one I got in my booms, was T. Higgins. He had 18.8 fantasy points, which for any of the Bengals players is pretty solid, especially their wide receiver core outside of Boyd. Finished as a 19 wide receiver, but that's outside of 15. So he also was a bust. And my boom tight end for the week was Darren Fells over himself. And he ended up with a donut. I don't even know how far down the list he was because there were guys on practice squads that had more points than he did.
I was about to say, it's tough to find him because he's tied with all those guys that didn't play at all.
And some of them had points. you get a point one for handing the coach clipboard or something, I guess. disappointing day for Fells, but better days are coming. So in my bus category, I went 3-1. So my bus quarterback was Matt Stafford. Very close. He ended up as a quarterback 11 with 24.8 points. This is another tale of I'm getting screwed by garbage time. And they ended up winning the game.
I was going to say, you can't call it garbage time stupid. If he came back and won the game.
Yes, only because Atlanta is stupid, okay? Why would you fall in the end zone at the end? Don't even get me started.
Yeah.
That's about the only 5 minutes of football I got to watch on Sunday, so it was extremely disappointing. Stafford was absolutely abysmal for 3.5 quarters, and then they came back and win. So I missed my bust by a very small margin, but I still missed my bust.
Mm-hmm.
My bust running back was Mike Davis, finished as the number 30 running back on the week at 8.6 fantasy points. So I nailed that one. Bust wide receiver on Monday Night Football was Allen Robinson. Ended up as the number 45 wide receiver on the week, 11 points. Looked absolutely terrible last night. Not really his fault because he actually has no quarterback throwing him the ball. Nick Foles is arguably just as bad as Mitchell Trubisky. I think that they should hold tryouts with the local high school teams, and maybe they can find a quarterback to get them through the rest of the season.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely.
I watched the game till halftime. I couldn't watch anymore.
Yeah, that was about all I could stomach, too, watching them puke all over themselves.
I mean, David Montgomery still looks good. It pains me to say Jimmy Graham still looks good.
Yeah, right? Where did he come from?
Talent was always there. He just got old. Maybe he's maybe he's listening to Frank Thomas doing some Nugenics. But all right. So my tight end bust of the week, I nailed this one, was George Kittle.
Mm-hmm.
Finished as the number 13 tight end at 10.5 points. Now, the number 13 tight end at 10.5 points is pretty close to not meeting our criteria, where it was only 0.4 that separated the number 12 to number 10. However, you don't put Kittle in your lineup expecting anything less than 20 points a week. So this was a huge win for me as far as getting that one right. My Cosby's deep sleeper was Dalton Schultz at 3,900, 4.2 points. Hopefully, if you played him, you were able to really stack some of the guys that, put up huge numbers. I did not. I won $1.35. Not a good week in DFS. And my Samson's deep flex play was Jerry Jeudy, and that was also a loss at 4 fantasy points. Game in the snow. It was a good running game. Wide receivers, even Tim Patrick, didn't have a big week this week. So, but yeah, logic was still there. Yeah, I still stand behind it.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, if he has a game that he's capable of, that's pretty much what you're going to get. I just, the whole point of me arguing with you in the last episode was not, do you really think Jerry Jeudy can be a deep sleeper? I was legitimately asking, who is the number one wide receiver? And I'm still wondering, because I still feel like they didn't show up
this week. A lot of that was game script because of the weather. So I think we'll find that answer out this week.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a legitimate question. Who is their number one wide receiver right now? Fant should be back at least close to being fully healthy. So you've got Jeudy, you've got Tim Patrick, and you have Hamler and DeSean Hamilton. So you got four young, talented wide receivers. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks with Locke healthy, we'll find out who the number one is, who the number two is, or at least the 1A, 1B.
Yeah.
What did the shitbags picks end up being?
Shitbag.
I mean, our illustrious commissioner.
So the commissioner went 1-3 on his booms. He also had Andy Dalton. We talked about that. Awful. He picked the wrong Washington running back. J.D. McKissic had 7.1 fantasy points and finished number 35 on the week. My very own Antonio Gibson, who's a personal friend of mine, had almost 21 fantasy points, which I believe I said in the last episode was the key to my victory, and we'll talk about that later. He had Tyler Boyd at wide receiver, who finished number 9 on the week, almost 28 fantasy points, 27.7. Definitely a boom. Great game. I'm sure you were happy to see that as anybody.
Yep, and, absolutely.
Darren Fells, garbage. We talked about that. Donut. Can't get much farther from booming than that. The bus. He went 2-2. The ballsiest pick of them all. Pat Mahomes. QB number 23. 15 fantasy points on the week. I should give him 2 W's. I mean, fucking, that is an awesome pick.
Yeah.
He picked Derrick Henry, which for like 3/4 of the game looked like he absolutely fucking nailed. I feel like he was at 3 fantasy points for 3/4 of that game.
Yep.
And he ends up finishing with 15.2, running back number 15. Not a bust. He ended up pulling out a pretty decent game against a really tough opponent and in a really tough game. He also had Allen Robinson. That's another W. We just talked about that. Evan Engram, tight end number 12, 10.9 fantasy points. Not a bust. Not by our criteria. Got to finish 13th or lower. So the 0.4 fantasy points between Evan Engram and George Kittle is the difference between winning and losing.
And I will take the win 100 out of 100 times.
Yeah, right. He picked Michael Gallup as his Cosby's deep sleeper, which he fucking cheated. $4,600. The cutoff's $4,500. He fucking cheated. and still got it wrong. Fucking donut for Gallup. Cheaters never win, Eric. Ever. Okay? Samson's deep flex play, he picked Gabriel Davis, who I literally never heard of before he picked him. And he finished with 2.1 fantasy points. So I guess I don't have to learn his name. Well, I can forget.
Apparently
it.
His quarterback had never heard of him either.
I can forget about Gabriel Davis the second this recording is done, because I don't think he's worth noting. So that is going to wrap up the boom bust recap. And we're going to go straight into a little mailbag.
The mailbag.
So first off, we have a question for a friend of the show, Shane. He says, is it time to hit the panic button on Mike Evans? I would say yes if it wasn't for Chris Godwin missing some time. Like, I feel like this is his time to shine, is it not?
Yeah, I don't think you panic on Evans yet, because Brady's targeting him. I really think that roster is going to be a week by week, game script by game script thing, especially with Antonio Brown coming. And I know we'll talk about that a little bit later, but you have Scotty Miller, who's a talented young wide receiver, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. You have Gronk to throw the ball to. You have Brate, who's a receiving tight end. You have Fournette, who's a receiving running back. Jones is a receiving running back. There's just so many weapons for Brady to use, and they're going to use them all depending on what the game script calls for. So Arians is there to win games. Mm-hmm. Brady's there to win games. He's going to throw the open receiver like he did in New England. It's going to be very tough to pick that guy from week to week, but I still think Mike Evans is the one with Godwin out.
Yeah, and I mean, Mike Evans' three best games of the year were weeks 2, 4, and 5, the 3 weeks that Chris Godwin did not play. So right. If I was going to give up on Mike Evans, it wouldn't be right now.
Yeah, no, not at all. I really don't see any reason to give up on Evans.
Oh, he's been bad.
But how many, like, I'm not looking at it right now. How many targets and stuff did he have this week?
This week he had 2.
So
last week he had 2. Week right, 3, when Chris Godwin's played, he had 4. Week 1, when Chris Godwin played, he had 4. So right. The weeks that Godwin missed, he had 10, 8, and 9. The weeks right. That Godwin played, he had 4, 4, 2, and 2. I mean, yeah. He is not Tom Brady's favorite. I mean...
No, but I don't...
So I get the basis of the question, just now isn't the time. When Chris Godwin comes back...
it's definitely not. But the thing is, like, and it's probably more appropriate... question would be, is it time to trade him or how much value can you get from him? But you're never going to get back what you spent in draft capital for Mike Evans. If you own him in Dynasty, you're never going to get back what you think he's worth, as long as Tom Brady's his quarterback. Mm-hmm. Because Brady's looking for the 5 to 15 yard throws. He has other receivers right now. When Godwin's back, he has him. He's got Scotty Miller. Evans is the guy. If he's not going to be able to work the short field, he's only going to get a couple shots every game. So,
yeah, and I mean, that was my question preseason. I asked it during the draft recap. You know, I just feel like Mike Evans' play style isn't a great fit for Tom. It's not really what Tom's typically meshed with. And I actually like your question better than Shane's. Fuck you, Shane.
Everybody likes me better than Shane. Except maybe Mike. I mean, that's probably arguable.
Yeah, well,
but
I mean,
we can always ask that later.
Who doesn't Mike like better than you?
Yeah, so, exactly.
Let's say that Chris Godwin misses 3 weeks. Those 3 weeks will be against the Giants, the Saints, and the Panthers. Let's say Evans goes out and balls those 3 weeks. Are you immediately trying to move Evans?
I am trying to move Evans the next game that he balls.
Yeah.
Which should be the Giants, because we already know what he did against the Saints. We already know what he did against the Panthers. So he should have better games against those two teams, but I'm capitalizing on a good game. And at the beginning of the season, where I owned Evans in Dynasty, I was already trying to trade him because I know what Brady is. I know what he prefers. 5 years ago, Mike Evans would be the number one wide receiver in the league. He would have 20 touchdowns already. You could start him every week. It would be Randy Moss from 2007.
Yeah.
Brady can't throw the ball downfield accurately as often anymore as he used to be able to. That really hurts Mike Evans. It doesn't make him irrelevant. It just hurts. So you have to pick and choose the matchups where you're going to use him. The next couple with Godwin out are going to be extremely good matchups. Are you going to find somebody to buy Mike Evans? If somebody's hurting at wide receiver, very possibly, you could get them to take him.
Or you just find some dum-dum and see if he takes the cheese.
Right.
Most leagues have a dum-dum.
They do. if Godwin misses more than 3 weeks, you're at week 12 and then they're on a week 13 bye. So it's very possible you don't see Godwin back till week 14 in the fantasy playoffs. That is a realistic outlook. Because if he's borderline coming back in week 11, why bring him back? Just wait. You know, wait till the bye. Tampa's, they've got a good record. They have good matchups coming up. They should be playoff bound. So
yeah,
with a late bye like that, rest the guys, keep them healthy for the playoff run. So that's a very real possibility that you don't get Godwin back until the fantasy playoffs. You might be riding the Mike Evans wave right up until his bye.
Then trade
him. And then trade him to somebody who's, you know.
Desperate.
Well, yeah. I mean, we don't know what injuries are going to come up between now and then. You're going to have guys that are just barely making the playoffs that are desperate. They can take a piece like Mike Evans and potentially go farther.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we know how right we are on this show about most of our predictions. So, I mean, we could be way off. Samsonite, I was way off.
Yeah.
But Evans is one of those guys that everybody's talking about. All the experts are talking about. It's kind of been the same take after you and I broke the news before the season that he was the guy to stay away from. You know, everybody else now is following suit, but you know, that's what happens when you're superstars.
Yeah. Well, you know why they didn't say it preseason? Because they're too afraid of giving shitty picks.
Yeah.
We're not afraid.
Can't be afraid. You can't live in fear of dumping shit. You just can't.
No, so I think it's a great take, and I agree 100%, which is not all that common that you and I agree, but here we are.
No, it's not.
So that actually brings us directly into our second question, which is an email from somebody that I have no idea who the fuck they are. They're just a listener.
Welcome, listener.
So this is from Dan. He says, you said you'll take questions about the podcast, so I want to know what got it started and why you decided to add Steve as a co-host this year. Love the show. Keep the shitty picks coming. I swear to God, that's
no
in there.
No problem.
You got it.
Finally, something I can excel at.
So, I mean, quickly, we got started. It was Eric's idea. A friend of ours, Ricky, had a podcast. He was trying to do a comedy podcast, and he had asked Eric to be a co-host. So Eric went out and bought a microphone, and at his draft, he decided to start a podcast just for the league. And I had been on Ricky's podcast, and I had expressed interest in being the first guest to help break down the draft, because I think the draft is the best part of fantasy football. I love pre-draft work. I love talking about the draft. I love reviewing the draft board. That's my favorite thing. So, you know, he wanted somebody from the league to be on every week as a 1 week in and out. And I said, let me do the draft, and you can ask somebody else to do week one. And, you know, I did the draft breakdown with him, which was like 2.5 fucking hours. And, you know, week one came and nobody was doing it, so I did it. And then week two came and nobody was doing it, so I did it. And the funny thing is that Eric didn't even have his microphone. It was at Ricky's house. So on the way to his house, he tells me he has no microphone. So I went and bought a microphone. So I that was how I got my first microphone. It was a Snowball Ice, which sucks. It's fucking garbage. It's not worth the money. And that was how I got involved. And it was Eric's idea. And then I kind of started forming it. And me and him started brainstorming on how to make it better. And by the end of the year, we were somewhat close to what we have now. Maybe not exactly, but we were getting there. So, I mean, we're still developing it. We're still trying to make it better. And that's evidenced by asking Steve to join us. You know, we obviously, Steve was on the show 3 or 4 times last year and 3 or 4 times pre-draft this year. And it was my idea. I went to Eric and I had asked him about whether or not he would want you to be a co-host, because I told him I thought it was a good idea. And he said that he was fine with it and he liked having Steve on. So he was 100% on board if you wanted to do it. And basically the leading factor, the number one thing was that Steve disagrees with me. You know, well, all joking aside, you know, it's right, wrong, or indifferent. It's nice to have the person on the other side of the argument that is knowledgeable to make the other side of the argument. Whether you're right or you're wrong, I want the listener to hear the other side. And they can decide who's right and who's wrong. And then, you know, the next week, the person that's right gets to gloat and call the other one an idiot. But I think it's important for the listener to hear both sides of the argument. And that was the main driving force why I wanted you on, Steven.
Well, I appreciate it. And we all know that it's almost impossible for both people to always be wrong. But we pull that off on this show.
We are incredible.
we are amazing in many facets of how things work. It's not a secret to anybody that knows Brian and I that we disagree on most everything. And it's usually more so on the way that we get to the answer, not necessarily the actual answer.
Yep.
So it's and I enjoy doing the show. Fantasy football, for anybody that doesn't know me, I'm in usually anywhere from 70 to 100 different leagues every year. I absolutely love fantasy football. It's my biggest passion. And so the opportunity to get on and talk about it and on a weekly basis is exciting. I enjoy doing it. I wish I could do more. I wish I could watch more football, but I think we all do. So I'm happy to be a part of the show and what's developing. And I'm definitely with both Brian and Eric, where we really are trying to develop and bring better picks to the show. And as you know, I guess, junior analysts, if you will, just to get better at our trade. So, but until we perfect it, please expect more and more shitty picks every week, because why give up on something you're good at?
Exactly. So it's funny because, you know, before we started recording, me and Steve were actually talking about how to refine the picks a little bit, how to refine how we make our picks, because we're still trying to figure it out. And like last year, it was too easy. We had a really high hit rate because we pretty much just picked whoever the fuck we wanted. And, you know, there were weeks where like me and Eric were picking like Alvin Kamara to boom. And it's like nobody needs to listen to us to figure out if Alvin Kamara is going to boom. And like now it's really hard. And like, that's kind of the point, but at the same time, like there's no point in making the picks if we're always wrong. So we're still trying to figure out how to find that middle ground. And, you know, and to your point, Steven, you know, I probably should have led with you are very knowledgeable. We don't agree a ton, but you are very knowledgeable. And that was really the main reason. If I just wanted somebody to disagree with, I'd ask Ricky to be a co-host or fucking Nate, you know, like,
I think Mike would volunteer if you wanted somebody to disagree with.
So, you know, we could find anybody disagree with me, but to find somebody that disagrees with me and is knowledgeable and can make an argument in their favor, that is, that was really the key. And that's what we wanted. And anybody that thinks we disagree about football, you should watch us go Boilermaking together. It's it's fucking brutal.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to answer all of our mailbag questions. And thank you so much, Dan, for reaching out. Whoever you are, wherever you are, we appreciate it. And we're so glad to hear from you. So that is going to bring us into our next segment, which will be our breaking news.
Breaking news.
So speaking of breaking, Mr. Odell Beckham Jr. broke his ACL. So what do you think that does for Browns wide receivers and or running backs?
Well, I'd like to shed a tear for Odell.
That was fucking bad.
I gotta stop with the bad jokes. I just can't. They just keep flowing. So let's just get real for a minute. OBJ has never really fit in with Cleveland anyways.
No.
So the guy is super talented. Hopefully this shows Cleveland that we need to move on from him. They seek out a trade for him next year, and he can go somewhere where his talent is going to be used in the fashion that it should be. I'm not saying that Cleveland can't use it. It just, their offensive style is just not what's going to fit Odell Beckham Jr. So as far as the fantasy impacts, Odell's out. This helps Kareem Hunt. This helps Nick Chubb when he comes back. This helps Rashard Higgins. This helps pretty much everybody on the Browns offense. I mean, like I said, Odell takes the number one defensive back away for coverage, and that's part of it. Without him, I think the first week or so, maybe they're going to struggle a little bit early, depending on who they're playing. But I think overall that it's hard to say it, but I think overall the offense is going to be better without Odell on the field. I mean, Jarvis Landry is by far the biggest recipient of him not being on the field as far as target increase. And he's a volume guy,
yeah,
that can make plays, but he needs the volume. And I think Higgins is next. Hooper, when he's back, will be the recipient. I think his target share increases. So overall, yeah, I think as much as you don't ever want to wish for a guy to get hurt, I think all around this might be the best thing for Odell, best thing for the Browns, because maybe it opens them up to the possibility to trade him to somebody who's going to be able to use his talents.
So let's talk fantasy here. Odell Beckham Jr. through the first 6 weeks, 42 targets. Those targets are now up for grabs. Jarvis Landry, he doesn't play a ton of snaps. I mean, he typically stays under 75% of snaps. Do you think that this could really get Austin Hooper going, or maybe those targets go to Chubb and Hunt? Or do you think that Jarvis Landry is the biggest beneficiary here?
I think that, I mean, you're talking, you know, what, we're in week 7, so you're talking 6 targets a game. Yeah. I think it gets spread around. I mean, you know, if Landry gets 2 more targets and Hooper gets 2 additional targets and you split 2 out to one of the other wide receivers or into the running backs from week to week, I mean, 6 targets is a big deal to spread around to 3 or 4 other people. So when you're talking PPR, you're talking volume guys like Hooper, mm-hmm, and Landry, an extra 1 or 2 targets a game is huge.
I was going to say, especially for a tight end. I mean, an extra 2 targets a game for a tight end is the difference between tight end 12 and tight end 3.
Right. So, yeah, I really think that this could benefit most of the offensive players on the Browns as far as where that target share is going to go. So, and they got, what's the kid's name? Is it Josh Golden Gandy or something like that?
Antonio Gandy Golden.
Yeah, that's it. So, you know, there's a benefit to him to get out on the field and get some time now too. Yeah, I think overall that this
like I said, it's hard to say it because he is such a talent, but I think this benefits most of the Browns players that have him off the field.
Yeah, I just don't think it was a good fit. I don't think it ever was. I don't think it ever would be. And like you said, I think the Browns might be better off without OBJ, and I definitely think OBJ is better off without the Browns.
Yeah.
As most players are.
Right.
So moving on to our next player. We've argued quite a few times over this one. Kenyon Drake has a high ankle sprain. He's probably going to miss 3 weeks.
2 to 3 weeks.
Anyway, yeah. You know, right around there. We're finally going to know. We're finally going to see. Is Chase Edmonds a legitimate number one? I can't fucking wait because I can't wait to watch you eat your fucking words, dude. Chase Good Edmonds luck. Is going to make the best of this opportunity. And he is going to come out smelling like roses on the other side of this. I'd be so fucking amped if I was a Chase Edmonds owner, because I don't think he's giving this job back, even when Kenyon Drake comes back.
So, as usual, I will disagree with that. Shocking. They come out of the bye and play Miami. They come out of the, after that game, they play Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
I can see Drake. He potentially could be back for the Miami game with them going into the bye this week. I doubt it. I would expect to see him against Buffalo. Chase Edmonds, I think he's a mediocre running back. He's a good change of pace guy. I don't see him running away with the job. I know you and I are going to disagree about it. It's matchup based. If you could play each running back against the same team independently, we would know, but you can't, so...
Well, we're about to see it. I mean, Chase Edmonds is going to take the field with the same exact offense as Kenyon Drake, and if he does really well when Kenyon Drake wasn't, then that pretty much answers it, doesn't it?
Yeah, but they're playing Miami, dude.
Kenyon Drake played fucking Dallas. Kenyon Drake played the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's had his fair share of softballs.
Like, what did, I mean, Kyler Murray is the number one running back on that team. So
not for long. Because he has to be.
I will disagree with that, but we'll find out. I think Chase Edmonds is I'm pretty sure going to get his shot. I really will be surprised if Drake is back after 1 week out with a high ankle sprain.
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's any chance of that personally.
You know, there is a chance. They're talking about there's a chance. It's possible. Depends on how high it was. I find it unlikely. So I expect to see him back against Buffalo.
All I know is that in 7 games, Kenyon Drake is under 4 yards a carry in 4 games.
Mm-hmm.
Chase Edmonds has 1.
Yeah, how many touches?
That's the problem. If he had more touches, he'd already won the fucking job.
If he had more touches, his efficiency would go down.
Maybe. We'll see. I mean, I don't know. Personally, I'd rather give the fucking work to the running back that's more efficient with his touches and see what I have. But for whatever reason, they're just sticking to Kenyon Drake and giving him work, even though he's not efficient with his touches and hasn't looked good. Personally, I'm very excited. I want to see what happens. You know?
Yeah. No, I'm fine with it. We'll see what happens. I just don't think that you're going to get the result from Edmonds that you're expecting.
All right. Well, that's the beauty of the sport. One of us will be right, one of us will be wrong, and it won't be up for interpretation much longer.
Nope.
So the next bit of news, we have Mr. Antonio Brown, who did not sign with Seattle over the weekend. He ended up signing with Tampa Bay, reuniting with his booby, Mr. Tom Brady, who, for whatever reason, absolutely loves this lunatic. I kind of feel the same way. Like, I don't think he's fucking relevant. I don't think he will be. I mean, maybe in Chris Godwin's absence, you could make a case, I guess. But I'm not going out of my way to get Antonio Brown.
No, I'm not gonna clog my roster up for the next 2 or 3 weeks with Antonio Brown. His coming in is ideal for the situation in Tampa Bay. Godwin out with a broken finger, had surgery today. 2 to 3 weeks, probably gonna be more than that. I don't expect him back until after the Week 13 bye. That's just me. But Tampa's looking to be a playoff team. They have the depth. I can't see them rushing him back to just have him re-injure it when they could wait an extra couple of weeks, go through the bye, come back. He's ready for the end of the season and a big playoff run. Antonio Brown can't play till week 9.
Correct.
He says he's in football shape. I don't believe it. I think you're looking at Antonio Brown on a snap count for at least week 9, week 10.
It is a little easier for wide receivers than running backs, but I still am pretty doubtful that he's in football shape, quote unquote, without training camp and practice and hits. And
well, that's the big thing right there is it's not so much running up and down the field. It's the running up and down the field, catching the ball coming across, and then having a 240-pound linebacker stop you in your tracks and knock you on your ass.
Yeah.
So that's more the football shape that people are talking about than the actual conditioning when it comes to guys coming that haven't played football in over a year. So I know Brady likes him. They have a connection. Antonio Brown, talent-wise, is one of the best wide receivers on the field when he's on the field.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to demand coverage, which also should help Mike Evans. But I really don't see his impact being enormous until at least, you know, maybe spotty in week 9. And then week 10, he could come out and wow us all. So it's definitely for him a good time to come into the system. I'm not picking him up anywhere. I'm not going to clog my roster with him. If I have the opportunity to get him in a week or so because of injuries and I have an extra IR spot that I can put somebody in, I might take a chance and grab him. But I'm not at this point in the season, unless you're just running away with it. You know, you're 6-1 or 5-2. You can't afford to have a guy like that on your roster for a couple of weeks with the number of injuries that are going around the league and the COVID cases where, you know, you get a guy like Aaron Jones who looks like he's going to play right up until 11:30 on Sunday. You need to have the roster spot available to add a guy last minute. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, like I said, unless you're running away with it, you really have to manage your roster right now if you want to make the fantasy playoffs. So he's not a guy I'm going to be looking at clogging up until at least another week, maybe two.
Okay. So, I mean, that brings us to the other Tampa Bay wide receiver. Mr. Chris Godwin is expected to miss some time. So, I mean, the number one thing for me is that, I mean, the team has come out and said that they're optimistic he will miss the he will miss the week 8 contest and be able to return for week 9 against the Saints. That seems optimistic.
I think that's extremely optimistic. I mean, like I said, he just had surgery on his finger today.
Yeah.
So fingers are important for a wide receiver. I don't know if people know that or not, but
what do they use them for?
They kind of help them with their catches and, you know, having one that you just had surgery on, every time that ball hits, it can be a little sore. Yeah. So,
I mean, you know, Scotty Miller is somebody who in ESPN is currently rostered 8.6%. Is that somebody you are immediately putting a claim in for today?
Yes. Scotty Miller has been productive in the games. Chris Godwin has been out this year. He's not a superstar.
Correct.
But you're going to be able to put him in and potentially get a big game out of him. He's definitely a flex play from week to week. But if you need a 5-point floor with a big upside, he's your guy. And he's still attainable in a lot of leagues. I mean, yeah. I probably would start him right now over like Hollywood Brown just because of matchups coming up.
Yeah.
Some of those guys in that tier, Mike Williams, just because the potential is there. Tampa could throw up 45 points every week.
Yeah, it's tough to get a softer matchup than the Giants.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's almost one of my must-starts for this week. He may be, depending on where he ends up as we get later into the week, a potential for my boom wide receiver or my Samson's deep flex play. So
yeah.
We'll just have to see how the chips fall.
That's really the point that we're trying to get across here, is that the team is saying that they think he's going to miss 1 week and be back. We are telling you, you need to be prepared for him to be out longer. You need to make adjustments. Don't think that, like, oh, I got Jerry Jeudy on my bench. I'll plug him in for the 1 week and then Godwin will be back. He might be gone longer. you need to plan accordingly, because I really am doubtful that Chris Godwin comes back after one fucking week. And you want to make sure that you have somebody to plug in. And if he's going to miss that amount of time, Scotty Miller is somebody that's perfect to go grab. He's rostered in less than 10% of leagues. There's over 90% chance he's available in your league. Go put in your fucking waiver claim. Seriously. All right. So that is it for Chris Godwin. My next question. There are tons of rumors that Evan Engram is on the trade block. Now the Giants are saying, no, we want to keep him. You know, Joe Judge is saying that he's part of our future, even though he's not part of their present. They don't fucking throw it to him, so, like, what difference would it make if you traded him? But I'm going to assume he's on the block. I think Joe Judge's full of shit, and I think that they're listening. So do you think Evan Engram's value immediately goes up if he's on another team?
It depends on the team.
I feel like almost any other offense could figure out how to use that athleticism.
Well, I would think that, but it's been proven over and over that that is an incorrect statement. So there's talented tight ends all around the league that are on teams that just physically do not use tight end for anything other than blocking or check down here and there. So it's really going to depend on what team he ends up on. I firmly believe that Evan Engram is on the trade block. Judge is full. He's full of shit. It doesn't come out that a player is on the trade block from multiple sources, and then all of a sudden, oh, that's not true. I never said that. Yeah, you did. And people are calling you about him, and they're just not giving you the offer that you want. So let's just stop screwing around and just put it out there that this guy is available, but we want somebody to pay us what we feel the guy's worth.
Yeah.
He talent wise is a top 10 wide tight end. He's not being used. He was being used with Eli. He's not being used with Daniel Jones. Now, granted, their line sucks. Daniel Jones doesn't have enough time to throw the ball to the sidelines, let alone to an actual receiver. You have to take that into consideration, but the guy has talent.
Yeah.
He really does. I mean, you can see it on the field. When he does catch the ball and move it down, he's had problems with staying healthy. It happens with guys that play physical like he does. So there's always that opportunity that he could get hurt, he could not. I just think it's going to depend on where he goes. I really do. Because I think there's opportunity for him to really be an asset to some of the teams around the league that need that guy. Houston could benefit hugely from a talent like his to go along with Akins and Fells. Another team would be...
You want to know the first team that popped in my head?
Yeah.
Green Bay Packers.
Green Bay is another team that Aaron Rodgers would love a tight end like that.
Yeah. I think Tonyan was the product of opportunity because Davante Adams was out. I don't think Sternberger is anything special. I think they're both just kind of filling the role for now. I think if he had somebody like Evan Engram, you could really see that player take off.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. The other one I think of that's a good fit that really likes to use the tight ends is Seattle. Russell Wilson loves going to his tight ends.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And he would use a guy with that talent. I mean, Will Disley, fantasy relevant when he's healthy.
Jacob Hollister.
Hollister was fantasy relevant. Greg Olson's there. He's fantasy relevant, and the guy's, you know, one hangnail away from being retired. So it's there's a few spots, and I think somebody will trade for Engram this year because the price can't really get any lower than where it is right now without them having to rethink what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, I mean, what could they possibly be asking for Evan Engram? A fifth, a sixth? Like, they're not.
I think you'd be looking at probably. They could get a third.
No fucking way.
Yeah, I think they could. Depending on the team, I think they could get a third.
A tight end at the end of his contract? No.
Yeah, it's going to be a later third, maybe a fourth, but they definitely could get something like that for him just because the talent is there. Everybody knows the talent is there. You're not going to be able to cheap out on him.
I really think they would get a fifth. I mean, it seems like you undervalue draft picks. not looking to like start the whole argument or anything, but it just seems like you always think players are worth more than they really are. Players just don't, they just don't get traded for that kind of draft capital, period. You know,
players of proven talent at a position where it's very hard to prove talent increase the draft capital. Running backs, tight ends, I mean, wide receivers, let's face it, they're a dime a dozen. Left tackles.
Wide receivers are a dime a dozen and running backs aren't?
Running backs get hurt all the time. But if you can get a quality running back that stays healthy and they're young, you can get good draft capital out of them.
No, you can't. Well, I mean, you give me the example. When was the last time a running back got traded for serious draft capital? It's not a valued position in the NFL.
Most teams don't trade valuable running backs.
No, it's not because they value the running back. It's because you can't get anything for them.
Well, that's I disagree with that. How much? What did Kenyon Drake go for with Miami last year?
That's a good question. That's actually probably the last one that really mattered. NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport added that the pick is a sixth rounder and can become a fifth rounder conditionally.
Okay, yeah. I mean, and Kenyon Drake, as you would say, wasn't very good in Miami, so that would be relative to what he would be worth. Would you not agree, a fifth rounder? Which I think is what they ended up getting.
No, I mean, it's just, I just feel like most teams feel like running backs are a dime a dozen. They can pick one in the third round next year, and they'll be fine. You know? I mean, like, somebody like Zeke, yeah, okay, there's obviously value there. You know? Like, of course.
Not this year.
Yeah. You know, I mean, but, you know, typically. Like, Alvin Kamara has value. But, you're really talking about those top five studs, and then there's the rest of the league. You know, I mean, like, yeah, you want to trade Kittle? Yeah. Kittle's going to cost you a lot. Evan Engram ain't no fucking Kittle. You know what I mean?
No, I would never say that he was. I think he can bring more value than what you do. So it's going to be somewhere in between there.
Yeah, if he gets traded, I will be very anxious to see what he actually goes for. Just so we can have closure on this argument.
Yeah, we don't need closure.
Yeah.
I'm always right.
Yeah, of course you are.
That's why I'm the number three.
So that is going to wrap up the breaking news. Let's give you your head-to-head recap.
Head-to-head recap.
So I once again had a mediocre week, as is my claim to fame. I went 3-3 on the island, all by my fucking self. I pick Moran over Ricky. The only one that believed in me. I believed in me. Justin Herbert single-handedly carried me to a victory over Ricky. I told you Justin Herbert was a legit starter. I love him. And sure enough, I got the win. So I was pretty excited about that. Barely got the win. I picked Dickie over Mike. I was wrong. Mike gets his second win on the season. I picked Shane over Nate. Shane won. Killed it. Incredible. He's our hero. I picked Jared to beat you, which was not the case. You beat him, and reasonably handily, even though some people in the league decided to call you out at the last second. Not the case. I stuck up for you. I don't know if you saw that. I picked Justin to beat Brian Martin. Not the case. Brian Martin won. And I picked Eric to beat Adisa, and boy, did he ever. He fucking walloped Adisa. It was ugly. I almost called the cops. I mean, he put the beat down on his ass. He ended up putting up 227 fantasy points. I mean, granted, we have two flexes, but still. It's not all that often to see somebody go over 200, and it's really rare to see somebody go that far over 200. Now the season high points leader, which is a $100 win in our league, by the way, he's not really running away with it, but he's got a healthy lead now thanks to that incredible performance. So that was my head-to-head. Steve, how'd you make out?
So I went 3-3 on the week, picked up my second win.
Woo!
Monday night miracle. I was down by 20 points or so. Mike said it couldn't be done. I showed him it could be, and then added a few extra points just for good measure. 2-5, I'm making a comeback.
Don't call it a comeback.
My next matchup, I picked Ricky against Moran. It was close. Brian won. I did pick Eric over Adisa. Picked Dickey over Mike somehow. Well, I know somehow. Mike was able to win on the back of Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. Won't happen probably again this season. I picked Shane over Nate. Shane won that one. And I picked Justin over B-Mart. And B-Mart pulled out the win. How did the absentee doing with his mail-in ballot?
Oh, fuck. I don't have his picks. That's like the one thing I don't write down. I do not write down you guys' head-to-head picks. I write down your boom bust, but...
Yeah, well, obviously he went 0-6 for the week.
Yeah, I'm giving him 0-6 for sure.
Showed up. On the season, Eric is in last place with his picks. Which we just started keeping track.
By the way, you know, another good point about bringing Steve on as a co-host was that my other co-host has like a 30% hit rate as far as attendance. So having Steve as a co-host has been a huge boost. Because I don't know if you guys ever listened to the episodes I did by myself last year, but they could be fucking brutal at times. So, you know, once again, Steve, happy to have you.
Hey, doing what I can. Don't expect much. You won't be disappointed.
Well, I don't expect much out of Eric, but look where I am.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Fucking clown.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty much going to do it for the recap. You got anything you want to add?
Thursday night. Set your fucking lineups before the Thursday night game. This week is Carolina and Atlanta. Tune in to find another way that Atlanta can lose a game while being ahead for three quarters and probably close to the last 10 minutes of that quarter. Should be extremely interesting, riveting television this Thursday night.
So almost every Thursday night game is a complete fucking dud. I really feel like this could be a good one. And I know it's going to prove me wrong somehow, but...
It would definitely is going to prove us wrong. But like I said, it's Atlanta's, what... We were in week 8, so they won one game. So it's their 7th chance to show us a different way they can lose.
Isn't that incredible, though? That high-powered offense has one fucking win?
Yeah. I mean, they should have 2, but they can't. They don't know how to manage the clock.
They should have 5.
You can't fall into the end zone with under 2 minutes and then let them move the ball down the field and score. I think they had like 40 seconds left. But yeah, so tune in. Get your lineup set. Make sure you put your Thursday night players into the running back or wide receiver slots and get them out of your flex.
Don't waste your breath, Steve. They don't listen.
This year are real.
Well, you know what? Actually, this is a good point. The people in our league don't listen. They obviously do not listen because they leave them in their flexes nonstop. People outside the league, people like Dan, people we have respect for.
Right?
Take those players out of your fucking flex. Leave yourself flex ability.
Exactly. Also, take Michael Gallup out of your flex and don't ever start him again.
Just cut him.
Just cut him. He's cuttable. But we'll get into that on the next episode.
Yeah, definitely. So that is going to wrap up the episode. We can be reached by voicemail, as always, at 508-343-8010. It will not ring. It'll go straight to voicemail. Feel free to call, ask us a question. Tell us we rock, which I doubt. Tell us we suck, which I know you want. And tell us the picks we got right, which are none. And the picks we got wrong, which are all of them. And we'll play it on the show. We don't care. You can say whatever you want. And as long as it's not like completely vulgar or racist or anything like that, I'm more than happy to play on the show. You can call us anything you want. I don't care. I've heard worse by better. And obviously, we can be reached by email, as Dan well knows. We can be reached at dddfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Reach out. Ask us anything you want about anything you want. I don't really care. And we'll be happy to answer it for you. We just want to get you, the listener, more involved. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, I am Brian Moran, and I want to say thank you guys. And don't forget to set your lineups.